Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, you are now tuned in to the real Sean Ross Talk Show and Jam Session with Sean MacDaddy Ross. And yours truly, DJ Sir J Boogie. Let's go!
Sean Ross. Sean Ross. Sean Ross from No Limit.
And you tuned in.
Sean Ross. And you tuned in. Mean team in the building.
Central State and Omega Sci-Fi stand up.
Hey, what's going on, America? Welcome to the real Sean Ross Live Radio Talk Show Jam Session. And I got my big sister in the building, publicist of the year, big sister Lisa Stewart, all the way on the West Coast. What's going on, Lisa Stewart?
Hey, you know, out here enjoying another beautiful day, trying to figure out who our commander in chief is going to be. Though, I just had to turn it off and I'm gonna come back to it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so close to call. As they say on CNN, this race is so close to call. I don't know what's going on. What are we doing here? I mean, we're looking for Nevada, Arizona, Georgia. I guess Michigan just checked in. And, you know, since this is going to be a historic moment, I'm glad to say that y'all going to hear it first. The next president of the United States of America, y'all going to hear it first right here on the Real Sean Ross Live Radio Talk Show and Jam Session. We got a hell of a show, but right now we want to talk a little bit about politics until our guest join in and call in. So, Lisa, I mean, I'm looking at the race. I've been going back and forth on CNN, checking in like, okay, there's been some ups and downs. You know, I think this whole thing, it's been flip-flop. I looked at the Senate.
Yeah, it's emotional, ain't it? I'm telling you, I was like, oof. You know, I've been drinking Diet Coke. I had to go get me a real Coke. I had to have the strong stuff today. I said, give me the real Coca-Cola, not the diet today. I need that.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. It has been crazy, Lisa, crazy.
It is. You know, it's a sad day, though, because it shouldn't even be this close. Anybody with any kind of moral compass, any kind of care for other people, to me, it shouldn't have even been a question of who you should vote for. Anybody that loves this country, period, let's say that. Let's go all the way there.
Right. Well, since we have one of our guests that just checked in, I mean, this brother, he's doing phenomenal. About to do a 40-city tour, yes, and I'll be on the Real Sean Ross Live Radio Talk Show. Will be on the road with this brother, not just because he's my nephew and doing big things, but I want y'all to give it up, ladies and gentlemen, coming to the stage. Do you know this brother? I'm going to let him tell you more about it. So, ladies and gentlemen, give it up on the prelude of the next presidential candidate. I want y'all to give it up for Mr. King Titus in the building. What's up?
How's it going, Unc? How's it going?
How you feeling, nephew? Just trying to see who's going to be the next commander-in-chief. Who's it going to be? I mean, we're looking at the TV. I know you've been glued.
Yeah, it's been crazy. Everybody's been tuning in, but, you know, the thing has always been, you know, no matter who ends up in office, let's just keep positivity going and just hope everybody's making the best cognitive decisions when they're voting, you know, so.
Yeah, yes, sir. Well, very, very well said. So tell us something, man. What you got? I gave a little bit about the show. I haven't dropped any dates or anything. What's going to be the kickoff city, you know? Let's talk a little bit. King Titus, give America, you know, you've been on the show once before, but we still have new fans, new callers coming in and every time. Again, we're on the platform of Apple TV, Roku, Android, and Blog Talk Radio. So, you know, for some of the guests, can you give a little bit about your background and what made you get involved in the entertainment business?
Yes, sir. Well, Yes, like you said, been in the entertainment business for a little bit. Around the age of seven or eight is when I first really started, you know, realizing that I had a knack for, you know, music and dancing and stuff like that. My parents would always catch me watching Prince or Michael Jackson or Usher tapes, you know. And as I got older, I kind of just shadowed other people that was around me that did music and were in the entertainment. Grew up in an Inland Empire area, born in L.A., so, you know, the culture in the West Coast is always heavily influenced by music. So
I'm on the radio, you know, right now.
Just stuck with it, so, you know.
Since we are definitely in the building, and always a pleasure to have you on the show. And you know, I got to play your new hit single. Can you tell us a little bit about what label you're about to be, you know, that you're on, and what's about to happen?
I'm sorry, say one more time.
Can you tell the American public what label you're on? And what's about to happen on this tour?
Oh, yes. And as far as the tour that's coming up, I believe we're starting off in Las Vegas mid-November. So, you know, definitely coming up soon, being that November's already here. You know, we've just been getting ready, preparing for that. The most recent single that dropped on August 21st, titled Independent Woman, is out now on all platforms. So, yeah, we're really just going to, you know, just stay busy, keep it going, and tallying up the dates in the cities right now for the tour. But, you know, with COVID and everything, we're trying our best to keep it all the way together, and just can't wait to get out there and get on the stage.
Okay. Hey, most definitely. Hey, I'm glad I'm about to play this hit, Independent Woman. Y'all got it here. But first, before I do that, I want to welcome another good brother who's been seasoned in the business for a good while. I'm going to let you just let him tell the story, but I want to welcome him to the show. Y'all get it for JL Felony in the building on the Real Sean Ross Live Radio Talk Show and Jam Session. What's up, JL?
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
All right, it's a pleasure to have you on the show, man. Hey, and you right here on time. I believe in God, God, divine appointment and order. Did so good because we got another artist just hitting this number one release single. So I want to let you hear and tell me what you think about and what advice. And then we're going to get into your story in a few, and you can tell us all about that savage aspect of it too, brother. Been keeping up on you. You know,
right.
Hey, you may think you're on the site, but we got you locked and loaded right here on the Real Sean Ross Live Radio Talk Show and Chance.
Yes,
now, King Titus, we're about to go to you right now. I want everybody to know that's listening right now. This is how we do it when we're doing what we do. And King Titus, Independent Woman. Here we go.
Different if there's an issue, hey, yeah.
coming right back.
I just got to say I love the way you sway my heart.
You don't fall in love,
don't fall in love.
Independent woman with the money,
with the money out.
Cause you be in your
virgin, you're designed to test. Got me wishing time would last. Never really saw it coming.
Yeah, yeah.
Tigers.
I said I'm falling. Nothing new, baby, we ballin'. In the draft, number one, baby, talking Spalding.
Yes,
took out the money and you dialed and I left it calling. Left the ring and I be chilling in my necklace with a white tee.
Yes,
shawty in motion picture, girl, I feel like Spike Lee. It's kinda crazy, hitters trippin', but they shawty's not the victim. You'd be itching if you peeped your shawty like me. That's crazy.
Wow.
Talk off the Lambo in the gray Mercedes, my baby.
Yeah.
I fix your issues, all you gotta do is show me that love that I never seen. Halftime patiently, waiting for my pretty young thing, you the one.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR-DB, or its affiliates.
You're listening to eWater Radio, KEWR-DB.
Hey, welcome back to the Real Sean Ross Live Radio Talk Show and Jam Session. Well, my guest King Titus and my man JL Felon in the building.
Hey,
what's going on? So, King Titus, you got JL Felon in the building. He didn't heard the track. He didn't hear the song about be the next spring coming out. Hit JL, what do you think about when you hear that?
Oh man, that was a real player record right there, man. That was real classy, man. You know what
Thank
I mean?
You.
I really
Appreciate
like the
it,
sound
man.
Of it, and I like the verse, how he was spitting that verse. But it was definitely a real classy track. You know what I'm saying? I definitely like that. That was fire.
Thank you, man. Means a lot.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Okay, so hey, King Tyson, you heard that in the Legend of the Game. So when you talk to the big man, big bro, Dwayne, I'm going to say, hey, you heard it from somebody this season. Now, JL, we want to get right into your story, man. Can you tell us, you know, just, you know, from American public domain, you know, How was your starting process into the entertainment world and how you revolutionized yourself and just to stay relevant in that aspect?
Oh, man, just a quick brief history. I was originally signed to Jam Master J, rest in peace, from the legendary group Run DMC. And after that situation, I went directly to Def Jam. And, I put out an album called What You Gonna Do on Def Jam, and then which was featuring DMX and Method Man, and then I came out with an album called Crip Hop once I left the label Def Jam. You know what I mean? So I've been in and out the pen, man, trying to get it in, and I'm back, and I ain't playing around. You know, I'm free. I ain't on no paperwork. I just voted. I got my rights back. I'm all right.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That part, I've been there too. 1,865 days, day for day. Yeah, so I know what it means to be when you want to be liberated and get your freedom back, man. That's it's called being priceless.
And
you got
to. I'm just happy to be back at it, man. Doing what I do, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. And just like I said again, this is your home. Whatever you want to come on, you do so on this network and this station. Like I said, we on Apple TV, we on Roku, we on Android, and we on Blog Talk Radio.
That's
so if you got a message, hey, it's my brother of the struggle that's been there in it from government association,
that's
street affiliation. We're going to make it do what we can for you. So.
Appreciate that.
Oh, man, count it all joy. And Big Sister Lisa speaks really highly of you, and she said she all in.
Yeah,
so
Lisa hooked it up.
We got it back. You know what I mean?
Shout out to Lisa Stewart, man, for hooking everything up.
Thank you, baby.
Hey, hey, what's good?
Hey.
That part.
What's up?
As we all do,
yes.
When we talk about where we're going, we got to know where we come from. And before we get back into the politics, since I got both of y'all on the line, I got my man all the way from Cincinnati, Ohio, in here, DeMarcus. Yes, he's in the building.
Mr. Frank, what's up, Mr. Frank?
All right, Mr. Frank. Hey, since you're in the building, we got to play this one. This goes out to my grandma, may she rest in peace, when you talk some about people resting in peace. And sometimes we just want to take you back. J.L. Pelham, we got to take you back. J.O., we got to take you back. King Titus, Lisa Tour, I'm going to take you back. And here we go, y'all. I'm a real school road slide. Here we go, Jim. Here we go, baby.
Yeah.
I stumbled on this photograph. It kind of made me laugh. It took me way back, back down memory lane. I see the happiness, I see the pain. Where am I? Back down memory lane. I see her standing there, such a happy, happy pair. Love beyond compare. Look at there, look at there. The way you held me, no one could tell me that love would die. Slipping back, oh, back down memory lane. Feel the happiness, I feel the pain. Here am I, back down memory lane. I'm in the sunshine, I'm in the rain. Thought it was over, here I go again.
You're listening to E-Water Radio, K-E-W-R-D-B.
Hey, welcome back to the Real Strong Rock Live Radio Talk Show and Jam Session. Well, I got all my guests. I got Mr. D. Frater in the building, Lisa Stewart. Oh, King Titus, Jail Felony in the building, y'all. A.J. Mr. Sandy.
Hey.
So when you think about that, when you hear Back Down Memory Lane, what do you think about? Well, Jay, I'm going to start with sir, when you hear that music.
Just the voice alone, man, is something you can't mimic that. That's definitely not auto-tune.
Definitely.
He did her thing with that one. Hey, that sounds like brand new music right there.
What do you think? Something that we call old school, does that make you feel good? What you think when you hear that song, man?
I got you. Yeah, I'm a younger generation, but even when I hear that, it kind of puts me in a nostalgic type of vibe because I've always been, you know, heavy on listening to music, you know, that has, you know, vocals, stuff like that, whether it be R&B or anything like that. So definitely, that's my vibe, too.
Y'all like Lisa Stewart?
Well, you know, it just gives me all them memories. Back when people used to party for real and have good times without no problems and families come together, because now we're in COVID right now, families can't even come together. So it just takes me back to all that.
Okay, all right. And I got this one brother who just chimed in out of the Motor City. I got to give it up. And he's the birthday boy, and I mean, he's celebrating his birthday all week. My brother, I mean, we go all the way back. You know, there's so much I want to say about him. He's a revolutionist. He stands up for social injustice anywhere. I mean, you know, if I had to get somebody a Nobel Peace Prize, it would be this brother. Ladies and gentlemen, all the way out of the Detroit, Michigan, in the building, the birthday boy. Man, when they talk about this politics, he's the one to know. Y'all give it up for Pogo! In the building.
Hey, what's up? Hey, how everybody doing tonight? How y'all doing?
Happy birthday, man.
I appreciate it, man. It's always a pleasure to talk to you guys, man. How y'all feel about this election?
Oh, man, it's a nail biter right now.
it's a nail biter?
Yeah, it seems like Biden will pull it out, though.
You think he's going to pull it out?
Yeah, man, that's what it seemed like. I see Trump already complaining a lot, so you know how that go.
Well, that's what he do. That's what he always do.
Yeah.
You know, he got a pattern of complaining when things don't go his way, so we should have expected that. But
no doubt.
I don't think it's going to be a nail biter. I actually think everything he did actually backfired on him. I think his whole strategy was backwards from the word go. So, you know, it's pretty much lining up the way I thought it would. So, are you guys comfortable with the candidates? Are you good with them?
No, not really. I ain't really, with me, I ain't comfortable with neither one, but I just feel like, man, I think Biden will be more politically correct, and I think he got more experience. He has more experience when it comes to things like the pandemic and stuff like that. I think it'll be handled a little better than what it is now. You know what I mean?
Right.
At least on that note.
Right. Yeah. I definitely agree with that. He's a seasoned politician. All politicians going to do what they do. But at least you know that, you know, they all going to lie to you to a certain extent, but he's not going to destroy the country for his own personal gain.
That's what I'm saying. You hit it on the nose.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I meant.
Yep.
Yeah. And just so the division of the country, I mean, if people was racist, they always was racist, but it seemed like it kind of let them think they could come outside and talk that shit, but, you know, they only do that around certain people, but it just divided the country way more than what it was. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Kind of baked it in. Let me ask you this question, Jail, and then I want Pogo to come behind, at least to come behind upon this question. So, you know, we know what Trump is. and it's two scenarios I want to give y'all, and I want y'all to both please expound on them. The first one is, is it true that you think most people are still voting for Trump because people are tired of politicians, period? So they know that he's not a politician, and he's going for capital gain, and he's just stirring up what we call, supposed to be a comprehensive balance between Democrats and Republicans. He just blew it out of the water. Is that safe to say? And then the second question I'll ask Cheryl, do you feel that the other candidate, when it comes to Biden, Pogo, that ever since, Cheryl, since you told your story about being locked up and everything, do you think that crime bill that he signed back then was a hindrance or was just entrap brothers like you and me?
To answer the first question, I think that for the most part that Biden is, he got a whole lot of fucking dirt on him too. You know what I mean? So
right.
I really don't feel comfortable with neither one of these cats, and it's kind of messed up that these are the only choices that we had to pick from. You know what I mean? I don't really feel comfortable either way, whether it's Trump or Biden. But the only thing that I do feel comfortable about is, as far as science goes, I think Biden will be more professional with the pandemic, because that's the main thing that I'm looking at, is the bodies that Trump is responsible for handling the pandemic the way he did. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just looking at that aspect of it, and all the people that lost their lives, and people that was on the front line, all the nurses and all the doctors and people in those hospitals that was seeing, you know, all that pain from not being able to do anything and just watching people die, and him not even care.
Yeah.
And on top of that, he knew about, he was lying to us the whole time, so he just added insult to injury when people found out that he was lying to us the whole time and he knew the truth and he was misleading us, you know what I mean? So I just feel like all that blood is on your hands. Simple as that.
Yeah. 220,000 people.
Yeah. So I just feel like he'll be more, I think he'll be more, you know, he has more experience when it comes to dealing with scientists and things like that. Donald Trump ready to fire, Dr. Fauci,
yeah,
already.
Fauci.
Like, how could you, how could you possibly fire the only guy that knows how to get some type of grip on this pandemic? Why would you fire him?
That's
crazy.
True.
That was his first promise when he wins, that Fauci is fired.
Yeah, and it just makes no sense.
No sense.
So,
all right.
So it's like people don't, he don't give a shit. Yeah.
No. He don't.
Right. All right, Pogo, how would you answer to both of those questions?
First part, 94 crime bill. I had a lot of family affected by laws in my entire life, okay? Going all the way back, if I might be a bit personal, to my father as a child, rest his soul. So when I look at the scales of justice, they didn't just become imbalanced in 1994. You know, it's been systemic and it's been a long time. Now, to touch it, I think that there was never a perfect piece of legislation put in D.C. And the 94 crime bill, not to defend it, I think it was more of a situation where they didn't know what to do, because, again, the public, and not only the public, let's talk about your grandmother, my grandmother, Miss Johnson. You know, they almost were prisoners and hostages in their own homes, in their own communities. And the thing about that particular bill, and not just that bill, all bills, is that Miss Johnson and your grandmother and my grandmother, they vote. And so they spoke to the pastors. The pastors, in turn, spoke to the local elected officials, the Congressional Black Caucus, and everybody else. They wanted some help. They wanted a solution. Because when we talk about the crime deal, let's not forget, go back to hip-hop, and let's think about a song we all used to sing, if you're old as me, called Self-Destruction, right? We was headed for it, right? The streets are turning to a war zone nationwide, first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
I was right there front line. I saw it myself. And it wasn't the crime deal that had us running around with Matt Kins. That was us. And we was tearing each other up at a record rate. Okay? So, again, that wasn't a perfect piece of legislation. I understand that Biden owned it. I get the fact that he owned it. At the end of the day, we can't go back. But this is the thing I got, and this is the question I asked anybody when it comes to this. Sean, you fly a lot, right? And
yes,
I'm sure the other callers on the phone, you guys have booked millions of thousands of flight hours, right? Okay, the fact that you fly a lot, does that mean I would trust you to fly a plane? Because you've been on a lot of planes. Here's the deal. When we talk about Trump, right, the fact that he knew a lot of politicians, that didn't qualify him to play a politician. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm.
So when we talk about Biden versus Trump, that's not a binary choice. I don't see that as the worst of two options, because one guy plays politics, one guy understands policy. So there's a big difference
yeah.
in that. And again, like I said, any politician, all legislators, all the way back to the dawn of the Republic, you're going to always find something on a politician. It comes with the territory, right? Barack Obama. Great guy. He got dirt on him, too. Every politician. You do not make it to the top of the food chain and sit at the Resolute Desk at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue if, one, you're not an alpha male, apex predator, and you know how to tell the right line. You got to be able to do all those three things at the same time. But with this guy that we had in office, with the guy we had in office that we're talking about now, he wasn't good at any of those things but lying.
No
he
doubt.
Was great at that.
No doubt.
And at the end of the day, you know, I look at it like we need to do a better job of participating in the process, because here's the thing about it. We talked about Biden and the crime bill, right? But let's talk about what was black participation in down ballot elections. Because a crime bill can only be advanced if it goes through different chambers in the House, right? So if we don't like the bill, then where were our elected officials to fight the bill? Then who did we send up there to represent us to fight the bill? So I'm saying that to say in 2020, if we see what happened in 94 and we were not a part of the solution, let's be more oriented and let's not just vote every 4 years. Because in all actuality, politics are local. They're very local. If you think the prosecutor giving you a lot of problems in your district, vote him out. If you don't like the sentence the judge gave you, every single election you look up, judges' names are on the ballots, we don't participate. But we cry about policing. You see, that's the problem I got with that. Because every time we come to the end of one of these elections, you start to look at the exit polls, you start to look at the candidates, and you start to look at how many ballots didn't get placed, how many votes didn't get made for these particular candidates. We got to learn how to vote down ticket. Down ticket is where we're more effective. The president does not affect your daily life. Anything he does, he hands it to Congress. And Congress, in turn, puts the bill together. They run it through the upper chamber. We're not going to go through a political lesson. But what I'm saying is this right here. We have to be a part of the process.
Yeah.
We have to do better. And here's the thing about it. When we talk about crime in the community, and we talk about the police is killing us, okay, tell every young black man you know, if you don't want to go to college, go to the police force. Police up your own. I'm in my 50s. I can say this without reservation. We don't send enough of our own to our own communities because there's a stigmatism in the community about being police.
Being a cop. Yeah.
But then if you send a white guy in your neighborhood that don't know you, you got nothing good to say to him, he got nothing good to say to you. But again, you make the young black brother feel like the worst thing in the world he could ever do is be a cop. I tell you what, I guarantee you, I would rather the guy that grew up three doors away from me to police my block, because maybe if little Daryl up the street been crazy all his life, and the guy three doors down, he knew that, and he got the call, he'll come over there and handle the little girl a little different than the white guy that don't know my community come over there and shoot the shit out of little girl. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that makes a hell of a whole lot of sense right there.
Yeah, because he's been knowing little girl all his life. He's like, man, that's little girl. I got the call. I'll go take care of
it. Real shit. I can talk little Daryl down off this building.
Right.
Talk him off the building. He's been doing this since kindergarten. I know him. But we don't send our own into the communities to police us. Right?
Yeah.
And so
that make a lot of sense, man.
The second part of it, you know, I think, like I said, I see a lot of promise in this country. I see a lot of promise in the youth because I'm encouraged when I saw them in the streets this year. I was real encouraged. When a guy gets to my age, what happens is that we become more, guarded, more risk averse. But the youth, they have time to grow. So they got time to make mistakes. They got a lot of energy. Historically, all your leaders, all your great disruptors, they were always young people. And so
we
need to encourage them to stay involved in the process. But we also need to encourage them to understand the power of the ballot. They have to understand these down-ballot elections matter. It's not just worried about, will Biden flip in Arizona tonight? Will he flip Georgia tonight? Damn that. Who going to flip your neighborhood tonight? Because if you didn't vote for Common Pleas Judge when you went in there to cast a ballot, don't come out of there and say, damn, he gave my man 20 years. He didn't have to be on the bench. If you really know the sentencing disparities were too bad, then for God's sake, get him off the bench.
Yeah.
That's what I say to my people about that. But with respect to the pandemic, again, when we talk about Trump, you still got a guy that played politics. And I went back to that airplane analogy I used earlier. Because you flew a lot, that don't mean I trust you to fly me. I've been on a ton of airplanes. I don't know the first thing about someone.
Right.
But that's what we did. We gave a guy that had zero experience and a bunch of good talking points because people are so in tune to what sounds good and what makes them feel good. They didn't lift the hood on anything. They didn't kick the tires. They didn't test drive him.
Well, what he did, he played on everybody's hatred. He played on the worst of all people. He played on your racism. He played on your sexism. Like, you're like, hey, you know, the Mexicans are coming over. They raping and, you know, killing people. Okay, the blacks, you know, they lazy and this and that. He played on all that. He brought all this racism out, and that's how he won. Because it was in him all the time, but he brought it full. Mm-hmm. He brought it all out. And that's how he won.
Well, we had a black president.
We had a black president.
So what happened is that with the conditions were right for him to play on that. The condition was right for him to say.
He plays on what you want to hear.
The condition was right
for
him to
say. That's exactly
what he did. And understand this. We're going to talk about white folks for a minute. And I just want y'all to understand this. This is my perception. This is what I take away from it, right? White men had just spent the last 8 years listening to a black man. That whitey was not going to listen to a white woman for the next vote. He was done.
He wanted the whitest man he could find.
He was not going for 8 years. Because think about what he's saying. I just listened to a black man.
To a woman.
Now I got to go home and listen to my,
wife
for the next 4 years. So it was, it was perfect. The timing was perfect. And it wasn't Donald Trump. The
timing was perfect.
It was the puppet masters. It was Roger Ailes. It was Rupert Murdoch. It was the media machine that understood the public was gullible and they were ripe for the picking. And he was good
for
media.
Right for the picking.
He was good for money. It's like anybody. I know you guys deal in entertainment, right? Sometimes a show can come along at just the right time, right? He was just the right show at just the right time. And so what we did was we wagged the dog. And now as a result, you know, when you look at my problem with the coronavirus is not so much that he was woefully ignorant before he ever took the job of president. My problem was the lack of participation that my people had because we felt like OB wasn't on the ticket no more. But I got something to tell everybody, anybody listening. Elections have consequences, and the fact that we're using social distancing, the fact that we have masks on, the fact that we lost so many people is a direct result that we stopped participating in the process when Obama came off the ticket. That is a direct result.
So exactly.
You got to stay in it. You got to stay in the process. This is a direct result of us not participating. Had we participated at the same levels that we did in 8 and 12, this wouldn't have happened. So elections have consequences. Elections have consequences. If you don't like what you see, you have got involved. I don't care how uncomfortable or inconvenient it may be. What's more uncomfortable or inconvenient?
Got to be involved.
A politician you don't agree with or going in there. What's more inconvenient? Looking at a politician you don't like or not being able to go in there and look at your grandmother while she take a last breath down of a virus and you can't say goodbye to her. Or better yet, or dealing with a president that encourages police brutality. All of these things happen because we, as a people, black folk, my people, because we chose not to participate. We chose not to participate. You know, so now we burn up half the country. We pissed off, we mad, justifiably so. But now let me tell you something. Anytime you get in a fight, you always got to ask yourself, what part did I play in this? Could it have been avoided?
Right.
Is there something I could have done different? Is there something? So when we go back and do this, when we do this.
We did not. Antifa burnt up the country. If you look, the black people were standing there looking. It was not us. I'm not claiming all that.
Okay.
Antifa.
We were really peaceful protesting out there. And a lot of those folks wasn't us out there.
Plant.
You know what I mean?
Well,
I saw it here in LA.
I'm not claiming that. This is the point I'm making. I'm not assigning it to a race. I'm saying the action took place when we got to a point as a people. Give it any association you want. When we got there, it's still a direct result of us not participating in an election. It's still a symptom of us not participating in a process. Because here's the thing.
Yeah.
They only exist because the environment was created for them to exist in. And that's what I'm saying about elections have consequences.
They definitely do.
Yeah.
And we definitely got to.
It seemed like the vote to get Trump in, somebody was tampering with that. It was a whole lot that got him in there.
And there's going to be a whole lot of everything. But don't you ever be surprised with that man. He's slick.
But here's the deal about that, and I get that. I understand people have inherent distrust in government because as a community, we've been getting the short end of the deal forever, so it's kind of baked in the equation for us to not really trust them. I get that. My thing is this right here. The fact that we don't trust them does not mean that we should stop engaging.
That's real.
How much equity do we have if we don't engage?
You know, I have to
because
give
that's
credit.
What we're fighting for.
Sean has a friend that is a full-on Republican. I can't remember his name. Sean, you probably can help me with that. The guy from Chicago. That's the Republican.
Jimmy Tillman.
I invited him. Jimmy Tillman and I. We go at it.
Like him. I'm still trying
but
to call him. He
said something that just struck me, and me and him probably would never agree on too much, but he said, you know what I do? I write letters to my president. I write letters to my congressman. I'm active. And so he's learned how to control the machine for him in Chicago. Even though he was doing a Republican, I said, you need to do that whether it's Republican or Democrat, but his method should be passed on to everybody. We need to write letters. We need to talk. Because what we do as black people, we're probably the most forgiving group of people it is on earth. You know, we're going to cuss you out at that moment, and then we over it, right? It's done, you know, with us. Like, you know, we walk away. That super health at the counter, she was dumb, I'm over it. But white people, they call the manager,
you know,
they call the supervisors.
You know what else we need to do? We need to understand. We need to understand, do you know how much money got spent in these campaigns? One thing that we don't do, we can write all the letters, we can do all the marching we want. Money got to get spent. Money got to get spent. Money by politicians. Money pay for politicians. Money pay for elections. So what we don't do, we don't become heavy political donors, because what our counterparts do is they pay for their guy to get in office.
Yeah, they
do. You
know,
we might want to march our guy all the way in there, but our guy ain't got enough money to get there. So you can't just march. You got to dig, the same way when you go to the Solid Rock every Sunday or Red Pass the Plate and you dig. You got to do the same thing when it's time to see your guy to Washington to represent you. You got to dig in your pocket. If you want your interests represented, you pay for your seat at the table.
As a community,
we can line up behind a candidate, but when we lined up behind him, we got to put some money in there, too. And when you put money in there, you buy a seat at the table, and you buy his ear as well. And guess who he listens to? He doesn't listen to just his constituency. He listens to his donors. That's who he listens to. That's who he listens to.
Correct.
Politicians listen to donors.
James... And I'm gonna call you by James Savage. So that's what you go by now, because you have evolved out of the jail family. I wanted them to hear your story, how you changed your name and now you evolved, because this is what's happening in the community. We're evolving as people too, and I kind of want him to explain that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I put out a project last year with my boy Exhibit. Shout out to X to the Z. It's called Broken Ground, but the original name. The original name of the project was James Savage, and it was basically, it's my government name, and we just was figuring out a way to, you know, come with something different for the film, and that's what we came up with. So, you know, that just happened to be my government name, but it was also a project that came out under my name, James Savage, last year. So if you guys haven't checked it out, it's a 12-song soundtrack. It's a 12-song soundtrack to that project. But it was released on World Star last year. It's breaking down into four different episodes. But each episode got over a million views on it. But it's definitely a dope project. And Rashidi, an Exhibit, directed it. And it's off the chain. It's like what we call a docu-musical. So if you guys haven't checked it out, you can peep it out. And then, you know, that's what it was. But I'm always going to be J.O. Felony, man. I had to tap back in with my fans because that's what they love. You know what I mean? But it definitely showed my maturity and showed, you know, I was doing a little acting in it, you know, just showing my growth. You know what I mean? And I look forward to doing another part two of the project with an Exhibit and Open Bar Entertainment with the part two of the James Savage Broken Ground project. So we, you know, X my boy, you know, we rocking
about?
For
we
life. You know what I mean?
We're going to do that for 2021. We're going to do that. What are you talking about? Yeah, Mr. Savage.
So
we're going to do that.
He had a funny interview with Big Boy from Power 106, and he was like, I had to take that felony off my name because I kept catching him.
I kept going to jail, you know what I'm saying, and shit like that. But at the end of the day, you know that's the name that I built over the years. And I've been J.O. Felony since I was 15 years old, you know what I mean? So, and then, you know, it's not all a negative thing. So I had to look at it like, people love, just like E-40 told me, he like, nephew, people love J.O. Felony. You can't get rid of him. You know what I mean? So I respected that, and I'm like, man. And when people see me, they like, man, your music got me through my time. I was in the hole for a year, and you know what I mean? And I was listening to your music. Mm-hmm. And got me through my time. So a lot of my music and just my whole career, I touched a lot of people. So I just got back to people loving what I do, so I couldn't never get rid of that moniker of being J.O. Felony, you know what I mean? But we definitely showed a maturity, and J.O. stands for Justice Against Y'all Oppressors, you know what I mean? So it definitely was a meaning to that name, so I didn't just, you know, let it go, but I wanted to show people that, you know, I matured and things like that, you know what I mean? So I killed the negative side off of J.O. Felony, and I matured, and now I'm back at it. And I'm working with my boy, Sir Jinx, from the legendary Ice Cube fame. And he helped me put out two new projects. One is called Hood Invasion, and the other one is called In the Trenches. You know what I mean? And that's under the jail felony moniker. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Solid. That's good, man. You know, anytime you grow, man, you know, you learn so much, man.
I'm proud of you, bro.
And he voted for the first time in a while, so that's a beautiful thing.
No, I voted for Hillary. You know what I'm saying? I thought Hillary was gonna get in there, but I seen that these old white men seem like they hate women or some shit. You know what I'm saying? Like the control of America is controlled by a lot of old white people. You know what I'm saying? And they hate white women just as much as they hate black people. You know what I'm saying? And they hate their own. It was like they didn't want to see a woman with that much power. It was kind of weird to me because I thought she was going to win with all the experience she had. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know, it's just weird, but I guess it is what it is. But one thing about it that I feel we definitely got to hold whoever's in power. We got to hold them accountable and make them really do some shit for us. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Make them really do some shit for Black America, whoever's in there. You know? Right.
Absolutely. And the thing about it, which is why I stress congressional elections so much more to people.
Yeah.
Because here's the deal. When a president gets in office, you know, I hear so many people want so many things from the president, but at the end of the day, the best he can do is submit a proposal, right? He can give you an executive order, but if the president doesn't enact laws, he signs them. So you send your interest to D.C. from your community for them to draw up your proposal, and they give it to the president to sign and make it into law. That's why I keep stressing, do not take your eye off of down-ballot congressional elections. That is where your interests are going to be represented on a local scale. You got districts.
Judges and the chiefs of police, people like that.
Exactly. You want them because that's going to represent your interests every day. The chances
who's in your community is what's first.
Exactly. Versus you saying who in D.C. at the White House.
That's real.
You cannot call the president every day, but you can get your congressman's phone number. You can call his office.
You can get an audience with him.
Exactly. And you can let him know.
It's definitely going to affect you way more than the president, for sure.
JL, let me tell you how powerful you are in your community right now. You control if you've got listeners, listeners are votes.
Yeah.
So instead of saying, listen, I need to talk to you, you let it be known, listen, not only do I need to talk to you, 1,500 of my constituencies want to talk as well. And this is what we want to talk about.
Exactly.
See, now they hear 1,500 votes. 1,500 votes is powerful because it can be an exponential number because they know 1,500 people and a district can swing by 1,500 votes, right? So now you got the congressman's ear. But you got to learn. Our people need to learn how to play the game. I didn't say like it. I said you need to learn how to play it so you don't get cheated.
Learn how to play it.
Yeah, you got to learn how to play it. That's all I say, you know.
Yep.
I got faith in all of us. I got faith in all my people. Even when it comes to the power structures in the United States, I don't think in my lifetime, but I think in my child's lifetime, in our grandkids' lifetime, the power structure is shifting, it's changing, because demographics in this country are changing. You know, so maybe, as a matter of fact, the only thing that's constant is change. If that were not the case, we'd still be on a plantation. Well, now, maybe they call this new thing a plantation, but it sure don't look like the one my great-great-grandmama was on. You understand what I'm saying?
No, not at all.
Each generation, we do a little better. And what we're doing right now is we want the next generation to do better than us because that's the hope of any parent.
Exactly.
It's for your child to do better than you and to go further than you, right? So I think if frame them up the right way, and what we need to do, again, because I hear so many people, I look online, the social media things, they talk about black empowerment and black wealth. Here's the deal. You don't have to have a seminar to teach black wealth. If you got five guys you know right there in your neighborhood, you can start right there. You can tell them, come here, man, let me talk to you about something. Five of y'all. You understand what I'm saying? Don't worry about, because you don't know who the true influencers are. So one guy may be very influential. If you grab the right guy, he may be able to convert three or four other guys, and so on and so forth. But you got to start small and then spread out. And we need to teach them financial empowerment. You know, one of the biggest things I hear is the black community, we're all consumers, we're all consumers, we're all consumers, right? We need to pull together the black dollars. We need to pull together. Well, let me ask you something. Why is it that black people don't do business with black people? I'm going to tell you why I say this. Now, all of a sudden, I hear about all these people wanting to do business with black banks. But there have been five black banks in business in this country for God knows how long, ages now. And I looked at the assets. The combined assets of those five black banks don't equal $3 billion. But the assets of J.P. Morgan Chase are a little under $3 trillion. But we're talking about, they say, the black community got a trillion. Now, let me say this. The black community, man, we got $1 trillion worth of buying power. Okay, so then why don't we have $3 billion collectively in black banks?
Right.
What is it that we so afraid of? What is it that we so afraid of? What is this gene? What is this? What is this thing about us that makes us so afraid to trust one another? We don't trust each other, but we'll walk right there in that bank. You walk right there in that bank with a guy that ain't never grew up around you in life, and you're giving your whole life story, your social security number, the kid's social security number, and you give him all you know, and the first thing you do, you walk back out the door and say, I got a deal at the bank. Okay, you could have made that same deal in a black institution. Because they didn't just start opening black banks when everybody got woke this year. These banks have been open for decades.
Wow.
But why have they not scaled out? Why have they not scaled out? I mean, research all of them. I don't even have to give you the names of them. Y'all get off, take a look at them, look at how long they've been open. So it's not like they haven't been in business. It's not like they don't have a chance to scale. We, the black community, haven't given them the ability to scale.
So grab my
because
jacket.
At the end of the day, we take all our money and we keep dumping it right in the same places.
Yep.
Yeah, y'all heard
that. And then we say we don't do business with black folks. Let's think about this. If each one of these black banks is FDIC insured, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, right? That's what every bank in the country is, right? So what's the difference in putting your money in that bank versus that bank? I mean, because if you're a millionaire, the FDIC is still only going to cover $250,000 of the money. I don't care what bank you put in. That's all they're on the hook for is $250,000, right? So why wouldn't we give them collectively a shot? Let's think about all the minimum wage people in the community since we don't make as much money. But how much money would these banks have if we took that minimum wage check and started depositing in their accounts versus the local account that's going to give you the highest interest rate, the highest service fees, and the highest everything? It's not by accident that they put the highest financial products in the minority communities. You don't go out to Beverly Hills and find a check advance or a payday cash advance. You don't find those in Beverly Hills. You find
You're listening to E-Water Radio, KEWRDB.
Marginalized communities because we don't have access to financial literacy.
That's something we need to talk about more often. You got guys in the industry that can get a million dollar contract right now and not know what to do with the money. Hey, Pogo, can y'all hear me? Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we're down in our last 60 seconds. I don't want to give everybody a chance to get their tags where we can find y'all. Pogo, we got to have you back part two on the Real Sean Ross Live Radio Talk Show. And next time y'all hear me, I will have Big Sister Lisa Ray McCoy in the building with me and a couple other more people for December. In jail, fella, you more than welcome to always come back. Like I say, my platform and Big Sister
Lisa Ray. You better be right. You're going to have Lisa Ray on there. You goddamn right. I'm coming back.
Oh, yeah, Lisa Ray and WK Fox. Don't get it twisted. Definitely.
Yeah,
hey, definitely.
No doubt.
Latin next week.
Hey,
one thing, take me to we're about to come in and make it do what it do. Mr. Praise, thank you.
Hey,
Lisa Stewart, you know, hey.
J.O. Felony Music. Y'all follow me on J.O. Felony Music.
Hope y'all will,
at J.O. Felony Music.
I'll be checking you out tonight.
Yes, sir.
All right,
let's
all
stay connected,
good luck
man.
In all right. Endeavors, man. I will.
All right, God bless
King
you.
Titus.
Much love.
Yes,
King
sir.
Titus.
Yes, sir. You can follow me.
All right,
yes, sir.
The Power Camera Play. Give us your tag.
Yes, sir. It's I am King Titus on all platforms. That's IamKingTitus on all platforms.
All right.
Much love.
Pogo.
Shout out to Detroit from California.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. Check us first of the month. We banging. We out of here. And dogs, I know celebrating November 17th. I won't be on that week, but I to the men of Omega Psi Phi. Hey, we're going to do this for you on the way out the door. Thank y'all for tuning in. Tune into us next week. I mean, first of the month, December, the first Wednesday in December. We on live, y'all. Night Daddy Sean Ross, I'm out of here. See y'all next one. Thank y'all. Rule that part. Bow Wow, UBO, UPA. All right. Thanks, Go Sticks.
This is a story of famous dogs. For the dog that chases this tale, we'll be busy. Be the clapping dog, rhythmic dog, harmonic dog, house dog, sick dog. Dogs of the world unite, dancing dogs. Yeah, counting dogs, funky dogs. Nasty dog.
Atomic dog. Atomic dog.
When you're out there walking the street, make compete.
But it's all a dog.
Bow wow wow, yippee yo, yippee yay. Bow wow, yippee yo, yippee yay. Bow wow wow, yippee yo, yippee yay. Bow wow, yippee yo, yippee yay.
Feel like that one must I chase the cat. No, I don't.